Go ahead and get started for tonight. So if you will, let's stand together. We're going to sing a song or a couple of songs together. You know some of them, and a few of them are maybe newer to you. But let's just praise the Lord tonight and give thanks to God our Father as He is guiding this evening. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I am never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for answers far and wide, but I know we're all searching for answers. Only you provide, 'cause you know just what we need before we say a word. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. Are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us. Oh, it's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. The peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me, deeper still into love, love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Aren't you so thankful that we serve an awesome God and that He serves as our Father? I know so many times we have times in our lives where maybe our own fathers and our own mothers and people around us fail us, but God never fails us. And He has always been there. He has always promised good for us, and He continues to day in and day out show us the truth of the gospel, that He loves us. So let's sing this together, Living Hope. Thank you.
great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring light the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Oh God, you are my living hope.
Will you sing that chorus one more time?
Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good evening. It's great to be together in worship. This has been a very emotional day for me, as I have reflected on.
Be seated.
Well, good evening. It's great to be together in worship. This has been a very emotional day for me. Seven by Glenn Grubb. And Norm, I'm pretty sure you probably made that tape for me. I'm going to dust it for fingerprints and see if that's actually you. But It was neat to go back and see who was on the ordination council that day. And men like George Taylor, men like Earl Taylor, A.B. Britton, just some giants of faith, men like Gene Wenzel, who were on that team. And then I noticed that three of our active deacons were in the ordination council this afternoon were also on mine. That's Rick Ruckert, Mike McGuire, and Al Grubb were both on mine and also on Andrew's. And so it's been a neat day to go back and just think through that day and remind me of my own calling. And I just want to share, as I did with the guys at 5 o'clock today, from Acts chapter 13, why we're doing what we're doing. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord, much like we have already done tonight, and while they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. At this time, I'd like to ask Andrew's pastor, Micah, from Living Water, not Waters, I had to get that right, Micah. Micah Creekmore from Living Water Church in Murfreesboro. Andrew is in Nashville and Belmont, and he drives down every Sunday and leads the worship services there. Micah's the pastor. I do know that this is a North American Mission Board-sponsored church, and brother, I'm grateful that you took my son under your wing and have mentored him and helped him. You share as you feel led tonight, and then pray for us.
Well, good evening. It's good to be here tonight, and I'm so glad I got to come over and to be here. And I want you to know that I've been in a lot of traffic the last few hours. Anybody been on I-40? And you ever been in traffic on I-40? And I want you to know that I love this guy right here enough to sit through a lot of traffic. That's how much I think of this guy. And I really mean that. I think so much of Andrew. And I want to tell you how me and Andrew met really quick. A pastor friend of mine introduced us. And I remember the first time he came to lead worship for us, I immediately thought, I would love to have Andrew be our full-time worship leader. And I think I told you something to that effect, that one day, maybe God will line it up for me and you to work together. But we had a guy that was filling in for us at that time. And that guy eventually left our church. And I called Andrew, who's one of the first guys. He may have been the first guy I called. And I said, "Man, we've got a position open. We'd love for you to come and lead worship for us." And Andrew called me back. I think he took a couple of days to process and to pray about that. And he called me back and he said, "Pastor, I've really thought through things and I'm going to give you an answer." He gave me an answer I didn't like. And he turned down the opportunity to come and work. Probably the worst decision you've ever made in your life. He turned down the opportunity to come and work at Living Water Church. And he said, I don't think I could do the job properly. And I thought, for a young man to say that, I was really impressed that you said that, first of all. And we went and we hired another guy about 2 weeks later. And then a week after we hired that guy, Andrew called me back and he said, "I've reconsidered and I would love to come and work if the opportunity is still there." And I thought, doggone it, Andrew, why did you do that? So the Lord delayed me and Andrew working for about 6 months, I guess. And then that guy left, and then we've been working together for quite some time now. And I just want to tell you, church, I'm honored to be his pastor. I'm honored to be his friend, and I'm honored to be here tonight to celebrate in this big occasion for him and to be part of sending him off. I'm really, really impressed. I'm really, really proud. And I'm proud that God is doing a great work. I've seen him grow leaps and bounds. It speaks a lot to me. This morning at our church, my little 8-year-old girl come up to me, and this doesn't always happen when a key leader in our church is out, but my little 8-year-old girl comes up to me and she says, "Daddy, where's Mr. Andrew at? And why isn't he here leading our worship today? And you were missed this morning. And when you do leave our church eventually to go on to what God has for you, you will be missed because you've made a big impact on our church, my friend. And I know God has big plans for you, and we're super proud of you and here to support you every step of the way. But aren't you proud of this guy? And I'm just proud that I've had the opportunity to get to know him. And I hope that in some way that's encouraged you and uplifted you. And I'm glad that our paths have crossed. And I look forward to seeing what the Lord has planned for you. I want to open us up with a word of prayer. The pastor's asked me to pray for us tonight. So would you guys bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Father, what an opportunity it is to be in your house tonight, God. Every time we walk through the doors, it's an opportunity. But tonight, Lord, it's just special to be here, God. It's special to be here to celebrate a big occasion in the life of Andrew. And Lord, we just thank you for this young man. We thank you for him, his dedication, his commitment to you, God. And the day and a time, Lord, where those two things, dedication and commitment, are things, God, that are hard to find in a young man or even in an adult, Lord. I just want to thank you for him and thank you for his life and him just saying, I want to serve the Lord for the rest of my life in full-time ministry. God, what a statement that is to come out of someone's mouth today, God. So we just celebrate that tonight. And as we honor that commitment, Lord, as this church backs it and supports it and puts our stamp of approval upon it, God, and we ask you to do the same, Lord. We just ask this night to just be stamped upon his heart and in his mind, just as a very special night, Lord. We just thank you for it. We ask your blessings upon it, God. We just ask you to hover over this service, God, to stir our hearts, Lord, and we just ask you to be glorified and honored in all the things that are said and done in this place tonight. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to recognize Mike Lambert, the chairman of our deacons, to bring the ordination council recommendation.
If you're not familiar with the process, the purpose of the ordination council is to conduct an interview and examine the candidate. It's not to rubber stamp the candidate just because he's our pastor's son. In fact, Andrew, to be truthful with me personally, the scrutiny was a little higher just because you were the pastor's son. So that's one mark against you right off the bat, so we had to overcome that. But the council takes this very serious. Remember, when we're recommending someone from our church to be ordained, they're representing our church. They're representing living water out of Murfreesboro. So that's very important to us. And so we come together and we question Andrew. And Andrew, I just want to tell you, brother, you are mature beyond your years, much more than I was at your age, I could say that. And you have a wonderful spirit about you. And I think God's going to use you to do wonderful things, to serve him. And through that questioning, the council need to satisfy that Andrew met spiritual qualifications, and also that we as a council understand his call to ministry, what that call is, and to make sure that he understands that, and he does, and what that looks like. Well, with that said, we as an ordination council are satisfied that Andrew meets the spiritual qualifications for serving in the ministry, and we voted unanimously to recommend Andrew Heisler as a candidate to the church for ordination. I want to present that to you, but I want to share a passage of scripture because I was thinking as we were going through this ordination service, it really beautifully displayed Peter's charge in 2 Peter chapter 1. He says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness to love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, you heard the unanimous recommendation from the ordination council. That does not require a second, but I will ask if there are any questions that you would like to ask at this time. All right, seeing no questions, we will continue on with the ordination service. If you are in favor of Andrew's ordination tonight, would you let him know by saying amen?
Amen.
And any opposed, the same way? Awesome. Thanks, Jamie. You come and lead us, brother.
All right, we're going to sing together a beautiful hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. And just thinking about ministry and thinking about our walk with the Lord individually, we come up against barriers and roadblocks so many times, but the Lord fights the battle for us. Over and over again, the psalmist says that he is our refuge, he is our strength. So let's stand together and let's sing this beautiful hymn. I'm asking at least to play that for us, and let's just sing it together as a body.
Amen.
I'm going to ask you to be seated. Give God the glory today. Give him a hand. So the last song that I know some of you know this, some of you it might be new to you, but it's a nice little song that's taken from the hymn At the Cross, and then it's expounded on just a little bit, and it's written by Chris Tomlin. It's called At the Cross, Love Ran Red, and I just want you to listen to the words and worship with me through these words and sing along with me, if nothing else, then with your heart, and let's just give praise to God tonight. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. And there's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. Sing this with me. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where my love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. And here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here my arms are wide, here you saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground. Here I bow down, here I bow down. Here, arms open wide, here you saved my life. Here I bow down, here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I owe all to you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you. It's at the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you, I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you, I owe all to you, Jesus. Jesus. Lord, in the quietness of this moment, Lord, let this be our prayer, Lord, that each and every moment we will be in awe of you. We will run to you. And Lord, that we will never forget the price that you paid on the cross, the debt that you paid to save us from our sin, to wash us as white as snow. Lord, as we continue to worship you through this service, may we just give glory to you and what you've done in Andrew's life and what you're doing in this church's life. And may we just humble ourselves before you, that you may be lifted higher and higher in each one of our lives, and especially in his life, Lord. We love you and we praise you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Video out to churches. That's why you're not getting called back. That was Friday night. That was at his senior recital at Belmont that we were able to drive over to. And I'll just tell you, as a dad, he's reached a level of technicality on that guitar that I don't even think I have words for. He was amazing. For 30 minutes, he and their band performed, I think, 5 different songs, maybe 6, and it was just a good evening of display of how God has grown him in that particular instrument. So let me put you at ease. That's not how he leads worship. If you've never seen Andrew in action, he really worships from the heart. And the reason he does that is because it's part of his approach and part of his philosophy. And he wrote this for churches to be able to read through as he has felt led to go into worship ministry. And I told him it would be extremely helpful for churches and pastors just to hear his heart about worship. So this is what he wrote. He said, "We worship in spirit by engaging our souls in worship." In other words, worshiping in spirit means God's spirit is stirring up worship within us, producing thanksgiving and praise from the heart. And Jesus warned us about worship that is only external with no spirit or heart engagement. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." To worship in spirit, we must be led by the Spirit and let the Spirit direct our thoughts towards God, to stir up our affections for God, and intensify our love for God by surrendering our selfish desires and replacing them with a passion for the glory of God. We worship in truth by carefully allowing the truth of Scripture to guide our worship. God's Word should soak and saturate every aspect of our worship. We do not worship out of ignorance. Rather, we worship from the true knowledge of the living God found in the Bible. We don't study the Bible out of duty. Rather, we study God's Word to better know and love Him. And then he makes this statement, that my primary responsibility as a worship leader is to first and foremost be an authentic worshiper of God, and then to facilitate spirit-filled and truth-filled worship in a corporate setting. I want to invite Andrew at this time to come and share his testimony and share how God has led him to this point of sensing God's call to ministry.
Good evening, everyone. Just like to first of all thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your presence here to support me on a very special day for me and my family. I'd also like to thank the Ordination Council for their time this afternoon, and I thank them for the very thoughtful questions they asked me, as they are, their priority is absolutely to send out people who are familiar with the gospel and who are going to represent the church well. So I thank you for that. Growing up in a pastor's home, I had plenty of opportunities to hear the gospel and to be around Christian people and to attend church and church programs. And through this and through this understanding and through these teaching by my parents, I was able, when I was 6 years old, to have a profession of faith, a sincere profession of faith, where I had a realization that I simply just was not good enough on my own. Just simply was not good enough. So I needed something greater than me, and that was Christ. And to me at that time, that was my understanding of the gospel. So I expressed that as a in that house in Wake Forest, North Carolina. And from that point on, it's been a growing process. It's been understanding more and more about the gospel, how Christ came down, and through his infinite mercy, he took the penalty for my sin and for everyone's sin, and how I'm completely unworthy and how all of us are, and how beautiful and amazing that is, and how this simple gift of just accepting and expressing faith in that, he would count us worthy to be with him. So that's the main reason why I'm here, is through the gospel, to serve the church through spreading that idea and that message to people who are hopeless, who need that kind of message. This last year, I've had the amazing opportunity to lead worship at Living Water Church, and I'm so very thankful for my pastor, Pastor Micah Creekmore, to make the drive down here through the traffic, as he said. I really do appreciate that. And it's through his guidance and his excellent leadership over the last, I think it's been 6 months, over these last 6 months, to not only help me grow as a leader, but to see good leadership in action in a church and to be part of that. And to create services based around the gospel, as he does so well. He's an amazing guy, and I'm really thankful to be under his mentorship. And I'd just like to thank you again for coming. Through this time at Living Waters, I've finally been able to finally understand this calling for the worship ministry. This was the point of this summer where I finally realized, and I started sending out resumes and started talking to my dad, you know, what do I need, a worship philosophy, and you get these videos together so I can start finding a job here. So this calling is something that's very important to me. Leading worship is something that's very important in my life, and I feel as if God has called me to this ministry. So I'd like to thank you again for being here, for supporting me through your presence here, and also for the ordination committee as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks. I wanted to share a couple of passages of scripture with you tonight, and then have a few bullet point comments that I will run through rather quickly, because I want to make sure we allow that time for that special setting apart and laying on of hands in the prayer that Andrew will experience here in a minute. Mark chapter 9, Jesus on leadership. Verse 33, and they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the way?" But they kept silent. They did not want to divulge what they were talking about, because on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. What's so powerful about the gospel and so powerful about ministry is that the way up is down. The way to lead is to serve. He sat down and he called the 12, and he said to them, "If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all." I think Jesus here is establishing the priority of a servant. That it's not about power, it's not about position, it's not about rank, it's not about authority,
It's about having a servant heart, which I have seen time and time again in Andrew's life, that desire to serve others, to encourage others, to not make it about him, but to make it about him. That's what it's about. In Mark chapter 10, the same kind of teaching comes as Jesus is nearing Jerusalem in the triumphal entry of chapter 11. Of course, James and John jump the gun and they say, "Hey, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you," verse 35. And he said to them, "What do you want me to do?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory." And Jesus said to them, "You don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And of course, they naively and arrogantly say, "Sure, we're able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism which I am baptized, you will be baptized." There's a clear teaching about leadership in the suffering of the servant of the gospel. He says, "You will suffer. You will drink what I drink. You will be baptized into the experience that I am baptized into. But to sit at my right hand or my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the ten heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John, only because they didn't ask before James and John. They beat them to the punch, right? And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The life of the minister is a life of service. We are serving the Lord's people. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Andrew, I'm going to give you four don'ts. That would be five. Four don'ts, four do's, and four B's. You don't have to write these down either. We're recording this, and I'm going to hand the sheet of paper to you tonight, and then I'm going to quiz you on it tomorrow at breakfast. All right, so here we go. Four don'ts. Number one, don't find your identity in the church. Don't find your identity in the church. The church should never define you. Your identity is in Jesus Christ. It is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this church that you will serve in the future somewhere at some time is going to want to define you. It's going to want to make you a part of its identity. And you need to remind yourself constantly that your identity is in Jesus Christ, not the church. Let Christ define you and not the church. Number two, told you I was going to move fast. Don't measure your worth by how popular you or your ministry is. That is such a temptation for a minister of the gospel. I could say, by way of my own ministry and context, preaching a sermon, putting hours of preparation into a sermon and preaching it with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, only to have people shrug at it. Only have people say, "It was okay. Not your best stuff." What do you do in those moments? If your self-worth is in their affirmation, you are going to have a depressing and discouraging ministry. If you base your ministry on whether or not the people like the songs from Sunday, you're going to have a long, depressing, discouraging ministry. Can I just tell you this, son? Pick the songs that the Lord loves and let the people deal with that. But I really want to dig there, but I can't. 3, don't try to do the ministry in your own strength. Don't try to do the ministry in your own strength. There's a book over there, Jim. Would you throw that at me? Y'all thought I was joking. I used to play pitcher for the Atlanta Braves in 7th grade. All right. Here's what he says, this book, The Care of Souls. I've been reading it to the staff. I can guarantee you'll be strung out, tapped out, and burned out in the ministry very quickly if you don't grasp this one central truth. By your own power or strength, you can do absolutely nothing as a servant of Christ and steward of his mysteries. Micah, could you say amen to that, brother? It is Christ in us doing the work through us. Now, I will go ahead and tell you that you need to be very careful about what you can pull off in your own strength and in your own flesh. Be leery and weary of that. We don't want to do the ministry in our own power or strength. We will string out and tap out and burn out. He says, I've seen it over and over again. A bright, gifted young pastor is driven to despair and the brink of emotional and spiritual collapse simply because he set out to do ministry, relying on his own ingenuity and internal resources. Please get this straight. It's not that you do part of the work and God does the rest. It's not that you do a little bit and then God does a whole lot. Rather, in Christ's church, the Holy Spirit does everything. Martin Luther put it this way in his smaller catechism. He said, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or even come to him, but the Holy Spirit must draw me and call me by the gospel. Enlighten me with his gifts, sanctify me, and keep me in the true faith. In the same way he calls and gathers and enlightens and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and he keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. And on the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. Because it is all about his strength in us. So number one, don't find your identity in the church. Find it in Christ. Number two, don't measure your worth by how popular you or your ministry is. Number three, don't try to do the ministry in your own strength. And number four, just a little wisdom from Dad, don't make decisions when you are discouraged or depressed. Do you know every pastor has resigned on Sunday nights? You just have that bad Sunday and you get home and you're miserable and your wife is like, what is wrong with you? Why are you grumpy? What is the problem? And you're like, I'm writing my resignation tonight. And then what do? You go to sleep, you get some rest, you realize the world is not falling apart like you thought it was, or the church, you get up on Monday, you tear up your resignation, and you go on and do the work that God's called you to do. So don't make decisions when you are discouraged or depressed. Here are four things that you do want to do. Number one, rely on God's word and God's spirit. One of the things that I love about your philosophy of ministry and your approach to ministry is you see the combination of word and spirit. And if you read any of the spirit-led preaching book that I have out, it is all about combining those two elements into the dynamic power that changes and transforms lives through the word and through the spirit. Jamie wouldn't be here if he didn't have that same conviction. What I love about Jamie is his reliance on the spirit to lead us and guide us. Even tonight, I just got to tell you, in the quietness of that last hymn, that last song that we did, just the sweet spirit of worship in here as we rely on God's word and God's spirit. Number two, invest your time and energy into making people, not music.
Let me clarify by what I say by that. You can get so caught up in the notes and so caught up in the arrangements and so caught up in the music aspect of things that you forget what ministry is about. Ministry is about investing in people. The church exists to make disciples. And the disciples that you make might be excellent at worship, gifted in musical ability, but never forget that you're there to pour into their lives more than just the music. Number three, and I'm so glad the ordination team brought this up to you today, make yourself accountable to others. That is the number one thing in ministry that all of our staff here on a regular basis, we are a team. There are no lone rangers in ministry. We are together. And you need individuals older that you can call, peers that you can call, people that you can invite into your life and hold you accountable for your life and for your ministry. It has to happen if you're going to be long in the ministry. Number four, do guard your tongue, your pen, your email, and your cell phone, your texting. What do I mean by that? I have seen more guys in the ministry in recent years get fired over inappropriate emails, inappropriate texting, inappropriate communication, in particular with the opposite sex. You have to guard your life with the spirit and the integrity of the Lord. Guarding your tongue, making sure that you are thinking through what you are about to say. Making sure that before you hit the send button, you have thought about it, you have prayed about it. I mean, how many of you have done that? You've written an email and you put it in the draft box and you went back and looked at it the next day and you said, yeah, I don't need to send that. Why? Because you wrote it in a moment of discouragement. You wrote it in a moment of anger. And I'm just telling you, if you will guard your tongue, the pen, the email, the texting, it will make for a longer, better ministry. All right, four B's and I'm finished. Be a servant. Be a servant. A true servant of Christ. Let me encourage you, Andrew, that when the church has a work day, show up and work. It's amazing to me when people will say things in previous churches and even in this church when they see the pastor show up to something and they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, Mike said there's a work day, so I'm here to work. Oh, well, we're not used to pastors showing up to work days. Why not? I mean, is a pastor part of the body or not? Is a pastor part of the church family or not? I can't tell you how many times Philip and I, Brad and I, women, we'll go set up chairs. We'll go set up tables. We're not above that. Why? Because it needs to be done. And that's what it means to be a servant. It means that you serve however the church needs you to get something done. And that's what it means to be the servant. It's amazing how when you are with the people of God outside of the context of a Sunday morning and you are just ministering with them, how much that impacts your pulpit ministry. And so let me just encourage you, be a true servant of Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, this then is how you ought to regard us as true servants of Christ, entrusted with the gospel. You also need to be humble. James 4:10 and 1 Peter 5:6 through 7. Never get too big for your britches. I don't know where in ministry we allowed this to creep into the church, but we have. And in many ways, and in wrong ways, that
pastors and worship leaders and bands, and I mean, we've just reached this, you know, rock star status to the point that you get a phone call from someone and they say, hey, I'd like to come and minister in your church, but I have a $5,000 minimum up front before I can even come. And you know what I do with those guys? I hang up the phone. I click. I'm like, that's not the way you should be serving the churches of the Lord. It's not about you. It's not about your financial offerings that you're demanding. It is about the gospel and about the kingdom. So be humble. I know being on stage and I know being the center of people's optic vision sometimes draws that attention to you, but always deflect it to Christ and give glory to God. Every time someone compliments me for anything that I do as a pastor, I say, glory to God, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. It's Him, not me. It's not about you. So be humble and be holy. 1 Peter 1:16, be holy, the Lord says, because I am holy. Holiness is critical in the day and age in which we minister. You cannot be too careful around the opposite sex. So just be careful with your holiness and your integrity and your character. And then the fourth one, be ready to suffer. Expect opposition. Expect that you will have difficulty in ministry and that you will experience hurt and pain in ministry. Laura doesn't know that I kept this note, but I did because it meant so much to me very early on in our ministry. And I was at a church, and there was a prominent couple that left the church. And she wrote these words in the midst of my struggle with that. She says, I'm so sorry you are hurting today. My heart breaks to see you upset. I've been praying for some wisdom to encourage you today. And this is what keeps coming to me. Don't give up on those of us who return Sunday after Sunday to hear God's word. You need that. I don't say a lot about Laura. She is very much behind the scenes ministering to my heart and my family, but I want you to know that for a wife to write that to a young pastor trying to figure ministry out and say, don't give up on those of us who return Sunday after Sunday to hear God's word. I know Bobby and Judy leaving is painful, but life in this church goes on. We need to focus our attention on those who are faithful and those who are just beginning a new walk with salvation and joining our body of Christ. I will be praying for you to receive wisdom to lead our church and a renewed energy to show God to us. I love you forever, Laura. Son, this is why I'm telling you, you need to get married. You need to get married in a very quick Minnesota minute. Because I'm telling you, if you don't have that kind of support at home, you're not going to make it long in the ministry. Father, we thank you for, Lord, the call that Andrew has responded to. We thank you for, Lord, just the way that you have worked these things out in his life. God, I think back to when he was an intern in Boone under Jimmy Finch. And Father, how I began to see him grow as he saw what corporate worship was all about. And Father, for you to take him from his internship position to be the leader of the youth band and then to be playing on Sunday mornings, then to be leading worship, God, it's just been that path of obedience, that path of growing him and grooming him and preparing him. And Father, I know why he had such a difficult time finding a church in Nashville. because, Lord, you wanted him to be serving and leading. And, Father, we can't thank you enough for all the opportunities you gave him early in his freshman and sophomore years. And Lord, to see him come full circle, to be leading worship week in and week out, and to have a pastor drive 3 hours over here and say, what a blessing Andrew is to us as he leads us in worship, Lord. We're just grateful to come tonight and bless him through this time of prayer. Bless him through this time of affirmation where we lay our hands on our brother and we say to him, we are behind you. We are with you, and we send you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you are an ordained person in our church or visiting with us tonight and you're ordained, this is a time that is open for all. I am going to ask Eric to play some soft music. I'm going to ask for our ordained men to line up here, and then for Andrew to come and kneel at the chair and let us come by and pray over him. This is a holy moment, a sacred time, as we set him apart for the ministry. And so I'm going to invite Andrew to come now at this time and kneel and face towards our pulpit, and then brothers will come behind you and pray over you tonight.
life more abundant and free.
present to him his certificate of ordination, and then I'm going to have Andrew and Ben and Laura, Susie, if you want to stand down front, and then y'all can come by on your way out and give Andrew a word of encouragement and pray for him as we pray for him tonight. So, Mike.
Andrew, come over here and stand. First, bud, I tell you, you give my heart hope as I see young men surrendering to ministry. And I'm excited for you about what the Lord has in store. I want to present to you the certificate of ordination. I want to read that to you. We, the undersigned, upon the recommendation and request of Pastor Micah Creekmore at Living Water Church, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which had full and sufficient opportunity for judging the God-given gifts and after satisfactory examination by us, Ordination Council, in regard to the Christian experience, call to the ministry, and views of biblical doctrine, hereby certify Andrew Heisler was solemnly and publicly set apart and ordained to the work of the gospel ministry by the authority and order of Senior Pastor Dr. Greg Heisler at Madison Avenue Baptist Church on the 13th day of October 2019. Congratulations.
Amen. I'm going to have my family come and stand with Andrew, then I'll close us in prayer, and you feel welcome to come by. It's been a great day for our family, and I'm just going to continue to say it. We love you, and we love being here. And I had someone the other day that said to me, man, Pastor, I hope you're not going anywhere. I'm exactly where I need to be right now. I believe that with all my heart. All of our staff believe that, that we're here because God's called us here. And we love this church, and we love this church family. And we look forward to serving you as we serve King Jesus. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you for a great evening of just affirmation. And I'm with Mike. What an encouragement. God, we need it. We turn on the news, we read the newspaper, we get on the internet, and we just see so much discouragement, so much turmoil. And yet we can come to a church on a Sunday night and set apart a man of God who feels called to lead people to the gospel through worship. And Father, to send him out with our blessing, to send him out with our affirmation, to say to Andrew tonight, brother, we are with you. We stand behind you. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will use him greatly. We just pray that for his whole life, he will have his eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He will set his mind on the things above. And he will abide in Christ so that God through him can do mighty works, not for his fame or glory, but for God's name and God's glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.